Are these political stories going to stick? That's really the question for voters beginning to pay attention to the political campaign. President Obama's campaign continues to pressure Mitt Romney to release full tax records. If Bain Capital's SEC filings listed Mitt Romney as its chief executive from 1999 to 2003, the Obama campaign says, why did Romney claim to have left the company in 1999, and why has he rejected increasing calls for him to release more tax returns? Mitt Romney and his campaign say the tactic is merely a distraction from the real issues, and that Romney has shown all he's needed to show at this point. Joining us now is Edward Conard, former managing director at Bain Capital and author of Unintended Consequences. Welcome back to the program, Edward.
John, thank you.
So at the risk of you hanging up on me, listen to this, all right? Just listen.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain.
Now, you've seen this, right, Edward?
I've seen him sing the song, but I don't know if I've seen the whole advertisement.
Well, you know the ad is sort of, it's got him singing this song completely taken out of context, and then it runs captions that suggest some of these tax return issues and the fact that he might have actually been in a position of responsibility at Bain Capital when he says he wasn't. Now, an ad like that is maybe admirable, a low blow, irresponsible, whatever you think. It seems to me that Mitt Romney could end this whole thing tomorrow by just disclosing exactly what happened at Bain Capital and releasing all the tax records. What do you think?
I think he has disclosed what happened. I think the tax records might be a separate issue. I do think this is a tactic to divert from what's important, the election, because I think the underlying story here is not nearly as interesting as everybody wants to make it out to be, but I understand why one, there's so much interest in it, and two, why it echoes through the media. But in February of 1999, Mitt came to us and said that he had an offer to turn around the Olympics, run the Olympics. He felt that it was important for him to make the contribution and that he was going to leave the firm to go do it. And he left the firm to go do it. And we were left to then figure out how to run the firm successfully without him. And we wanted to do that very carefully and thoughtfully because we were transitioning from a small firm to a large firm. Mitt's departure raised lots of internal questions about who was going to run what operations and such. And it took a long time for us to untangle that. But Mitt was working hard on the Olympics. We were working hard on Bain Capital. Mitt was not there at Bain Capital helping us figure out how to run the firm or make investment decisions.
But was he getting paid? I mean, do you leave a firm and still get paid?
I think when you start a firm, found a firm, and it becomes very, very successful, I think there's issues about how much your ownership is worth. There's issues about whether or not you can go off and compete or not compete and things like that. I think there's a whole host of issues which are common to firms like ours that are relevant when somebody like Mitt leaves the firm, and I think that raises a lot of questions for everybody else at the firm. What happens when they leave? How is their contribution measured? Things like that.
But if Mitt Romney was the president of General Motors, or Robert McNamara was the head of Ford, I believe at a certain point before he joined the Kennedy administration, maybe it was after, I don't know. But the idea that one would run a big corporation, if you left to run for president or to run the Olympics, you'd probably relinquish your chairmanship or CEO title. Is it different in a private equity firm?
Well, I would say it's different in a smaller, more informal firm than it is in something that's highly established like a Ford Motor Company. And then I think Mitt leaving is really more akin to Henry Ford leaving than just somebody who had been an employee hired by the company. So I do think it raises a different set of issues. But I think today, if somebody left the firm, those issues are far more formalized. I think it could be resolved a lot faster than it was at the time.
Can I ask you about Ford? Because that's an interesting. So what you're saying is, if Ford ran for president tomorrow, he might be able to say, and he would be able to say, "Look, I'm running for president. I didn't decide the color of the Ford Windstar van, but I still got paid because hey, it's the company that bears my name, right?"
Well, you're talking about Henry Ford back in the 1960s or 1970s, or Henry Ford II, whoever was running at that time. Mitt was not trying to disrupt the firm. Mitt was trying to help. He was trying to cooperate in the transition from Mitt leaving to a new group starting. And so the idea that you would take him off, I think, certainly raises the question of, okay, so whose name do you put on? That was an issue that was not resolved the day that he announced that he would be leaving.
All right, so then follow this logic. If it turns out that in 2002, Bain Capital made some decision about a company somewhere in the United States that resulted in some jobs going over to India, if Mitt Romney's name is on the masthead or on the stationery, is he responsible for those jobs being so-called outsourced?
I would say no, but I can understand how other people might, for the sake of political gain, want to interpret that differently. I would tell you that the partners of Bain Capital were making investment decisions without Mitt's input, and I don't think anybody felt that they needed to call Mitt up and ask his permission. It would be a little bit like, you know, us calling up somebody else who was no longer related with the firm and asking them their permission.
Maybe they should, though. Maybe they should have called up and said, you know, we're going to outsource a bunch of these jobs here. Do you think you should come off the sort of masthead here?
I'm not sure it would have occurred to anybody to even ask him. It would be sort of these are whatever decisions have to be made in the normal course of business would have been made. I don't think somebody would have stopped and said, oh, geez, Mitt's name's still on the masthead. Maybe we ought to call him up. I think.
But by implication there, do you think, as you think about it now, that he might be vulnerable here?
Well, I think if you said 10 years later, if you're running for president and somebody tries to say you were responsible for decisions when you had your head buried in work for the Olympics, would it be better to take your name off the document sooner rather than later? Perhaps, I suppose. I don't think at the time that was the issue, though. I think we were all trying to transition the firm thoughtfully and successfully, and, Mitt was our partner in the sense that he was cooperating and trying to help the firm to be as successful as possible. So I think unless somebody went to him and said, we have a need for this, I think when somebody finally said, look, we've solved the transition problem and here's how we're going to handle it, I think he was perfectly cooperative with it.
Well, thanks so much for helping us to understand how decisions are made there at Bain Capital insofar as you can. Edward Conard, thanks so much.
Okay, John, thank you.
Edward Conard, former managing director at Bain Capital, author of Unintended Consequences, on the story that's dominated the political headlines over the weekend. Thanks so much.